Parshas Kedoshim discusses many different mitzvos in many different areas of halacha, but one of the mitzvos that we encounter are the mitzvos hatluyos ba'aretz, those that are only relevant when we come to Eretz Yisrael. And the introduction that we're given to that category of mitzvos is ki savo el ha'aretz, when you will come to the land, unetatem, and you will plant that land, so then you have an obligation to follow the laws of Shemitah, the laws of Yovel, the laws of Netar Avai, and all the different halachas that are relevant to the farmers who plant the land in Eretz Yisrael. Amar lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, writes the Medrash, an amazingly beautiful comment. The Ribbono Shel Olam said to Klal Yisrael, what does it mean, ki savo el ha'aretz, unetatem? Doesn't only mean when you will come to the land and you will plant trees, then you have to follow all the halachas, but rather, there's an added level of meaning as well. When you come to the land, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, afal pi shetimtzu osam malei kol tuv, even though you will find that the land is bountiful, that the land has so much good, lo tomru, don't say to yourself, neshe velo nita, we will just sit by and enjoy all the beauty of Eretz Yisrael, we will just appreciate everything that this land means, and we will not invest in further enhancing the land. Ella rather, says the Medrash, havi zehirin binatios, you have to make time to go ahead and be proactive. You need to also plan. You need to build. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says in our Parsha, ki savo el haaretz, unetatem, you need to go ahead and make sure that you invest of yourself in further enhancing the land of Eretz Yisrael, and you cannot just assume that because it's so beautiful when you got there, that that is the way it will remain. Kishem shenechnastem, just as when you came to Eretz Yisrael, matzasem netio shenatu acherim, you are able to reap the benefits of so many others who came before you, who planted and who invested, afatem heyunotim livenechem, so too you have an obligation, you have a responsibility to also be forthcoming, to also be proactive, and to plant and invest on behalf of the future generations who will come to the land as well. Shelo yomar adam, says the Medrash, a person dare not say, ani zaken, I'm an older person already, kama shanam ani chai, how much longer am I going to live, mani omen misyagel acherim, why am I investing for others, lamachar ani meis. And to that, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's a major mistake. Life is not about asking ourselves, what am I going to gain from whatever it is that I do? But life is about always looking at the greater perspective. Life is about understanding that it's not all about me. Life is about making decisions that will further enhance the lives of others. And therefore, says the Medrash, we have a responsibility. As beautiful a life as we may have found ourselves in, as beautiful a community as Eretz Yisrael might be, as beautiful a country as HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, and the sacrifices that came in order to have that country, and all the people who gave so much of themselves, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it cannot stop there. We have a responsibility, and we have an absolute sacred obligation to make sure that we take upon the responsibility of furthering the investment into the land of Eretz Yisrael, and enhancing its beauty, and enhancing all that Eretz Yisrael stands for, as much as we possibly can. Even though we may not be the ones to be able to appreciate whatever it is that we invest. It may not pay off till years, years, generations later. But still, writes the Medrash, that is really what life is all about. And now the Medrash says, why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, helim ilibo shel ha'adam es hamisa? Why did the Ribbono shel Olam not give man the secret of when the end of their days will be? How come nobody knows exactly the moment of when they will no longer be alive? Because, says the Medrash, that was a chesed, that was a gift. Because if a person knew when they were going to die, lo haya adam bone velo noteya, I would do nothing in my life. I wouldn't plant, I wouldn't invest, I wouldn't work hard. Shahaya omer, because a person will say, lemachar ani meis, I only have a limited amount of time left in my life. Lama ami yomen misyagel acherim, why should I work so hard and invest of myself if I'm not even going to be able to derive benefit from all my hard work? And lefikach, therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is helim milibo shel bnei adam es yom hamisa. The Ribbono shel Olam hid the secret of that moment of death in order that we should spend our lives sheyehe adam bona, that a person should spend their lives investing, creating, understanding responsibility for others. Sometimes we're lucky, says the Medrash, zacha yiyelo. Sometimes if we're lucky, HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows us to derive the benefit of our own hard work. But other times, and more often than not, we invest and we do something in life that is beneficial for others who are going to come after us, for our community, for people outside of ourselves, and that is what life is all about. Says the Medrash, that is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructs the Jewish people, ki savo el ha'aretz, when you will come to the land, unetatem, and you have a responsibility not just to look at the land and see how beautiful it is and appreciate all that it stands for and all that it represents, but you have an obligation, a solemn obligation, to do whatever it is that you can to further enhance the beauty and the experience of everything that Eretz Yisrael is meant to be all about. And we need not go too far than to think of all of those who have sacrificed so much for Eretz Yisrael to be what it is to us today. Not just those who have sacrificed of their lives and given up of themselves to work the land and to create everything, all the infrastructure that we all know today, but certainly all of those who have given up their lives, literally, Al Kiddush Hashem, who have given up of themselves, who fight on behalf of all of ourselves, who fight on behalf of the Jewish people, who see something much greater than themselves, who always live life looking at the Jewish community, looking at the Jewish people, looking at Eretz Yisrael as something that is much greater than just my own personal life, my personal gain. Every decision that they make is something that is much greater than their own personal self-greedy and self-indulgent selves, and that is something that we have the opportunity to remind ourselves of as we think about this pasuk of Ki Savo El Haaretz. But then the Medrash, both in Vayikra Rabbah, as well as the Medrash Tanhuma, tells us an amazing story. And the Medrash here writes a story about Adrianus, who lived in the time of the second Beis HaMikdash. And it says that on one occasion he was passing through the Shvilim Shel Tveria. Hadrian was passing for some reason through the streets, through the marketplace, through the beautiful scenery of Tveria. And there he oversees Ra Eldem Echad Zaken Omed. He sees an elderly gentleman who is bent over on the ground, and he looks and he asks him, "What are you doing?" And the man says to him, "I'm planting, I'm farming, I'm doing all kinds of gardening, I'm doing work on the fields." Amar lo, Zaken, you're a foolish man. Ilu hishkamta, if you would have invested when you were young, if you would have worked hard in your younger years when you were stronger, lo ha'arafta, you wouldn't have to work so hard when you're old. You would have had savings, you would have had enough to put away, and you would be able to enjoy life. So why are you working so hard? It must be that you were irresponsible at the earlier part of your life, and therefore now that you're old, you have nothing left in your savings. Amar lo, the elderly man said to him, "No. Hishkamti, I worked hard when I was young, v'he'eravti, and even now when I'm old, I continue to work hard, and I continue to invest in the life that God has given me." And the question that he asked him is, "Why? May I ask you, how old are you?" Ben kama shanamata, how old, may I ask, are you, this man that he bumped into? And the man says to him, "I'd like you to know, ben mea shanim, I happen to be 100 years old." Amar lo, he says, 100 years old. At this age, you're bending down on the ground, you're planting, you're working so hard, you're exerting yourself, you're expending so much energy, you're straining of yourself just to do gardening. What's the point? After all, he says, you're not even going to be alive long enough to appreciate the fruits that will one day grow from this tree. So why are you waiting around so long? And the man says, "Well, im ezke, if I will be lucky enough, I will be able to enjoy them. If not," he says, "the same way that my parents and my grandparents and all those who came before me strained of themselves and exerted of themselves to create the beautiful world that we have today," he says, "I will do the same for those who will come after me as well, and I will pay it back. I will give it to those who will come in the future generations." Hadrian is very overwhelmed by this response, and he says to him, "Look, should there be a time that you actually live long enough to be able to appreciate the fruits that will grow from all of your trees that you planted, I ask you to please bring a box of them to my palace, and I will celebrate together with you. I will eat those fruits, and I will make a special meeting, just me and you together, to enjoy all of your hard work." Well, time goes by a couple of years later. Just so happens to be the elderly gentleman is still alive, and now his tree is growing figs. And he goes, and he takes a big crate and a big carton, and he fills it up together with all the figs. And he travels all the way to the Paltin Shel Melech. He goes to the palace of Hadrian, and he wants to present him with these beautiful fruits. He comes to the palace door, and the watchman, the guard, asks him, "Do you have an appointment? Why are you here?" He says, "I do not have an appointment. I'm a simple man. I'm a farmer. Look at the way I'm dressed." But he says, "The Melech, Hadrian himself, told me that I should come should I live long enough to see these fruits grow. He wants me to come and enjoy the fruits together with him." They go into Hadrian. They introduce him to this elderly man, and he says, "Do you remember that time when you were passing by the streets of Tveria, when you were passing those meadows, those farms? Do you remember that you saw me and we had a conversation?" He says, "Yes." "Well, here are the fruits of my labor. Here are the fruits that grew from those trees that I worked so hard to plant." And Hadrian is so overwhelmed, and he says, "You know, sit down and I want you to sit on my golden throne. And he says, I'd like you to empty out your basket and we're going to eat the fruits together. Not only that, I'd like you to empty out the basket and we are going to refill the basket with all kinds of riches and gold and silver, and I'm going to send you off on your way, and they have a wonderful time. This man ultimately goes home and he shares the story together with some of his neighbors. He has a neighbor who is a very greedy individual, a very selfish woman. And this woman turns to her husband and she says, hey, it looks like the king is interested in fresh fruits. And it looks like if you bring the fresh fruits, the king will empty out your basket and he will refill it with all kinds of jewels and all kinds of riches and gold and silver. So I suggest you do the same thing. While you're going to work every day and working whatever parnassa it is that you're trying to bring home, why don't you just fill up this basket with fruits, go to the Melech, go to Hadrian, and he will replace all that's in your basket with all kinds of riches and all kinds of money and gold and silver. He goes to the Paltan Shel Melech, he goes to that beautiful palace, and he shows up at the door, and they ask him, well, do you have an appointment? What brings you here today? He says, well, I'm here to drop something off for the Melech. They introduce him to the king, and the king looks at him, and he says, what brings you here? He says, well, I've been told that the king has an interest in fruits. And I've also been told that if you fill up your basket with fruits, the king will empty it out, and then the king will replace it with all kinds of riches, with gold and silver. The king laughs at him and he says, you fool. Now I'd like you to lay down on the floor right at the entrance to my palace, and any individual who walks in today into the palace will take some of those fruits from your basket and throw it in your face. That's what you deserve. And the Medrash then ends off the story. And I believe what this Medrash means to tell us is, what is the difference between the first and the second? And it's clear that the Medrash is here not just telling a story about Hadrian, but the Medrash means to tell us about the perspective of the Melech, of the King, of God Himself. What is His perspective on human beings? How does He look at us? And the Medrash answers, there are two ways that you can live life. You can live life being greedy, being self-indulgent, always worrying about yourself, filling up your basket and expecting reward, expecting that others are going to be excited about what it is that you do for yourself, because it's all about you, because everything in your life is about the decisions that you make to further enhance your own life. But there are others who live life very differently. There are others who live life that every decision that they make has nothing to do with them. They remove themselves from the equation and they look, what is this going to do for the greater community? What will this do for those who will come after me? I can invest, I can work hard, even though I will not appreciate any of my hard work, even though I may not live long enough to see any of the hard work come to fruition. But I'm willing to do it anyway because that is the proper way to live life. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, a person who lives life like that, a person who's willing to invest in others and make every decision based on the needs and the enhancement of the lives of others, that is the person that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to empty out your basket and I will refill it with all the riches. I will give you schar, because that really is what the life of a Jew is meant to be all about. When we think about the sacrifice, when we think about all those who gave for us, we ask ourselves, how much are we willing to give for others? How much are we willing to invest in the lives of others? Or is every decision in our own lives about what I can get out of the circumstance that I find myself in? What is it that I can walk away with? How much am I going to gain? How much money am I going to make? How much kavod, how much honor, how much glory am I going to walk away with from whatever situation I was involved with? That, says the Medrash, is the choice that every human being is able to make when they come across any situation in life. And that, I believe, is what we need to think about as we come to the commemoration of Yom HaZikaron this year. And it's something to think about, especially for those of us living in Chutz La'aretz, for those of us who don't have perhaps a direct connection to those who have given up so much and perhaps given up their lives for Eretz Yisrael that we all enjoy. And the question that we need to ask ourselves is, look at the sacrifice of these people who didn't even live long enough to appreciate what it is that they've given up. They don't even have the opportunity to love and to enjoy all of the gift that Eretz Yisrael is, because they were Moser Nafsham al Kiddush Hashem, because they gave themselves up on behalf of not their own family, but on behalf of the entire Jewish community and on behalf of the land and the people of Eretz Yisrael. And that is something to ask ourselves here in Chutz La'aretz. How much are we willing to invest in others? How much are we willing to give up for those who have given up for us? And what are we willing to take as the guiding force in every decision that we make in our own lives? Let me just share one beautiful Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Tzadi. And this is a Gemara that was pointed out to me by a beautiful new sefer that somebody bought me from Reb Chaim Drukman. I think it's a very beautiful idea that he has also that's relevant to our point. We have a very famous Mishnah that everyone is familiar with, because when we learn Pirkei Avos, this Mishnah is one which we mention at the start of every perek. Kol Yisrael Yesh Lahem Chelek Le'olam Haba. Every Jew has a portion in the world to come. Now, it's a very beautiful statement, and that's where the Mishnah ends when we say it with the Pirkei Avos, and the problem is that we don't really finish off the Mishnah. This is really lifted from the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, in Perek Chelek, in the very end of the Masechta. And there, if you look carefully in the Mishnah, you will see, although it's true the Mishnah starts off by saying, Kol Yisrael yesh lahem chelek li'olam haba, every Jew has a portion in the world to come, the Mishnah then goes on to list a number of Jews who do not have a portion in the world to come for whatever it is that they may have done. For some reason, when we read Pirkei Avos, we don't mention the end. We only mention the first statement of Kol Yisrael, Yesh Lahem Chelek Li'olam Haba, which needs an explanation. It's not relevant to our shiur right now, but now let us look at the end of that Mishnah. Who are those people who are listed amongst the individuals who do not have a portion in Olam Haba? Number one, somebody who says that they do not believe in Tchias HaMesim. Somebody who does not believe in the authenticity of Torah Min HaShamayim. Somebody who is an apikoros. How you define an apikoros is a good question. But then the Mishnah says, there are three kings, three Jewish kings, who do not have a portion in the world to come. And who are those? One of them is Yeravam, one of them is Achav, and the third is Menashe. Why? Because they did terrible things in their lives, and they were chote. Not only did they do things wrong, but they made others sin as well, and as a result, they do not have a portion in Olam Haba. Now says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion, Menashe yesh lo chelek li Olam Haba, that Menashe does have a chelek in the world to come. Even though he did terrible things, he still has a portion in the world to come. Then the Gemara goes further, and it says that there were those who believed that even the wicked, horrible king Achav, with all the terrible things that he did, the Gemara has an opinion that even Achav is worthy of a portion in Olam Haba. Now, who exactly was Achav? You look in the Psukim in Malachim Aleph, and the Psukim say, Vayas Achav ben Omri hara be'eni Hashem. Achav was a despicable person. He did the most horrific things against God. Mikol asher lefanav. He was worse than anyone who came before him. The pasuk then goes further and says, Vayaz Achav es ha'asherah. Achav plants a tree, and he makes people serve that tree for avodah zarah. And Achav did all kinds of things. Lahachis es Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Mikol Malchei Yisrael Asher Hayu Lefanav. Achav did so many horrible, despicable acts in his life, he was worse than any Rasha that came before him. Now ask the Gemara, in Moed Katan, if that is the case, that Achav was so horrible, how can you even have some kind of imagination that Achav is worthy of a portion in Olam Haba? What makes him worthy? Achav was a horrible Rasha, not only individually, but he made the Jewish people commit such horrific sins. How could it possibly be that Achav is worthy of a portion in Olam Haba? What is it that Achav did? Listen to an amazing insight of the Gemara. Rabbi Kiva fills us in on the secret to Achav's portion in Olam Haba. Yes, it's true. Achav may have lived a life that was despicable. Achav may have done things that were wrong. And in fact, the pasuk says, there was nobody worse than Achav. He made people serve Avodah Zarah. He was a horrible king. He made the Jewish people go astray. And yet, the Gemara says, in the name of Rabbi Kiva, there was one thing that Achav did. There was one episode in his life that already makes him deserving of Olam Haba. Given all the mistakes that he went through, all the terrible decisions, still, says the Gemara, there was one thing that he did. And that, writes the Gemara, is by the story of Aram, Nochach Aram, where Rabbi Kiva tells us that there was an incident when Achav was out in war, and all the Jewish soldiers were out together with him. Achav took a bullet, Achav was shot at, and he was bleeding to death. But Achav was concerned that if he is going to drop immediately, he was in so much pain, if Achav is going to drop out of the war then, if Achav is going to sit down in his chariot and show everybody that he was hit, all of the chayalim, all of the soldiers are going to give up hope, and their war is going to be over, and we're going to lose terrible amounts of Jewish life. Therefore, Achav decided, as painful and as difficult a decision as it may have been, as he was bleeding out to death, Achav decided he's going to stand strong, he's going to stand proud, he's going to show the Jewish soldiers that he's still here. And even though ultimately he died of his wounds and he lost his life, Achav was moser nefesh on behalf of the rest of the Jewish community in that incident. He made a decision that was greater than himself, and therefore, says Rabbi Kiva, he is worthy of Olam Haba, irregardless, irrespective of everything that came before that. And that is a powerful statement. That, says the Gemara, means when a person is willing to live life, where they're allowed, where they're able to put others before themselves, where they're able to see the bigger picture of what it means to be Moser Nefesh on behalf of the Jewish people, that is something that already makes a person worthy of Olam Haba. And in fact, the Gemara in Baba Basra Daf Yud says, there are many people who are worthy of Olam Haba. But the Gemara says there, Haruge Lud, Ein Lamai Lamehem. The most worthy of them all, the ones who will get the greatest portion in Olam Haba, the ones who will get the greatest reward are those who are Haruge Lud. Who are those people who were killed in Lud? Well, Rashi there fills us in and he tells us that there was a story in Lud, that there was somebody who had killed a Bito Shel Hamoshel, the daughter of one of the leaders of the municipality, and he came in revenge and he wanted to kill the entire Jewish community unless somebody would stand up and take responsibility for what had happened. Two brothers, Papus and Lulianus, two individuals stood up, two Kedoshim, and they said it was us. We were the ones responsible. Although they were not, they took responsibility, and on behalf of their Mesiras Nefesh, on behalf of the entire community of Lud, they saved the lives of all the other members of the community. And therefore, says the Gemara, a person like that, Ein Lamayla Mehem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, puts them in the highest echelon in his court. The Ribbono Shel Olam holds those people in the highest of esteem. That is what it means. Kisavo El Haaretz. When you come to the land and you will find that the land is beautiful, that is not enough. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says in our Parsha, Unetatem, we have a responsibility to invest of ourselves, as beautiful a land as it might be. We have to continue to enhance it. We have to give of ourselves. We have to be willing to invest. We have to be willing to do more. And that is something that every Jew has the responsibility to do, whether you live in Eretz Yisrael or in Chutz La'aretz. This is something that all of us share in the responsibility of what it means to make decisions in life that are larger than ourselves, that are more important than just what I'm going to gain personally from the decision that I make. That is an opportunity that we all have, and that is something we remind ourselves of as we begin to read this parsha of Parshas Kedoshim, where we are speaking all about the mitzvahs hataluyas ba'aretz and the opportunity that every Jew has to invest in the land of Eretz Yisrael and to make it a better place than it was before we had gotten there.